Hey guys, it's Justin Hill here. Strap on your high heels and put on your pads because we're going drag racing. Ah, crap. She's bottomed out, guys. Play the music. Welcome to Stand Original, RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, the podcast. And today we're enjoying the bottomless mimosas for a little drag brunch with our girls. Today I'm catching up with the one and only Bumper Love, where she tells us what she was actually meant to do for the talent show, and it wasn't stand-up. Plus, All Right Hey joins me to chat about what does one do at a talent show when maybe they're lacking a little talent. Oh, and also, I don't know if you spotted this or not, but I try to get to the bottom of the mysterious tissue on the stage. Check it out. She is a sprinkling of sass. She's a dose of a darling, but she's also a bumper love. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Oh, you can have a bump of me anytime. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm so good. I am excited to talk to you today, but then also at the same time, I didn't want to talk to you too soon because I was like, this queen, she knows a thing or two. I just couldn't wait to see you on the show. How are you feeling now post-Drag Race journey?
I'm on the same planet as you. Although I love your show, I just did not want to be on it this early. The experience on the show for me was actually amazing. It was so amazing. I left the show with such a full heart and like a completely full circle kind of moment for me as well. So I really, it was a challenge. You know, there's bits I f***ing hated, but there are things I f***ing loved. And I really, on the whole, I honestly had the best time.
Now, I guess it's very interesting because we often have this dynamic with, you know, when we have more experienced queens come into this show up against, you know, the kidlets who maybe haven't been around for so long. And I was just so pleased to see that the girls, from what we could see, had quite a lot of respect for you. And it even played to the point of that, you know, you had kind of like Ashley not wanting to give up on her friendship with you or her respect for you because, you know, of how she was feeling about like maybe who should be in the bottom two. As a queen who has, you know, been around the block or two, how do you earn that respect?
Yeah, it's a silent thing for me that I've realized. And that's a sign of respect. You know, really only talk to me unless you've got something to say. If you haven't, then maybe don't. And a lot of people in my circle, they're kind of like that because, you know, I only speak the truth. I just can't help it because, you know, I'm so passionate about my career and about drag and about our LGBTIQA+ community in New Zealand and Australia that you can't really muck around with me, you know? So that silence was beautiful because I'd rather just hear the, you know, the pure talent come through, the real art form. But also what I am surprised though with the younger girls is, you know, the level of non-community work that they have not done yet, because I started early in my career.
Yeah,
and I think they, so really there's a whole, that whole episode when we talked about Mardi Gras and Under the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. I think they had a small snippet of me talking about the visibility that we can present in regional areas. Mm. And I have worked in regional areas a lot in my lifetime in both countries. And I know the importance of having us visible as queer artists. So that little section you saw, I actually spoke for like 15 to 20 minutes with the girls. And it was
which
such
is
a good.
I'm so glad to hear that because they probably needed to hear that from you.
And that was really spurned by, I quickly clocked them and, you know, not, I don't know whether it's a choice or whether it's them at the opportunity, but I, you know, really honed in home that you have got an opportunity now, so go for it.
Because here's the thing, Bumper, is that the gays don't just live in the big cities. We're everywhere.
Yeah, and because, like, even with, you know, the old gay mile in all our big cities has now been dispersed because safety has been worked on for so many years now. So that's always been the way in regional areas, though, you know, they've always been dispersed because they live far away and, you know, maybe they can't afford to move to the city, whatever. And so us going to those areas is so, so important. I know this for a fact because I've helped save, you know, a youth's life.
Wow.
because of my presence. You know, that kind of stuff is so, you just can't, you can't pay money for that kind of stuff.
You know what I love, though, is that, like, I love hearing this from you because I get the sense of, like, this is not a surprise to me that you have these layers to your character. And I feel like in the show, somehow you got that message across to us that there was a lot more to your person without us having to, like, pry. And, you know, it's very interesting seeing Hollywood kind of go through that at the moment where the judges are like, come on, we want to see more of who you are. And I feel like naturally as a person, you kind of, like, you just give little sprinkles here and there to show that you are a multifaceted person and that you have a very interesting story to tell. But would you mind if we jump into this episode and we'll run through it and do a little bit of an...
My nightmare. Yes, do.
No, not at all. So we kick off the episode and we see Rue coming in. He's giving us a football realness with those shoulder pads, which look absolutely amazing, which is kind of a throwback. And I don't know if this was on purpose, but to that iconic football kind of like outfit that Rue wore years and years and years ago. And I think some of the queens have like remade it over the seasons
with the big gridiron
shoulder pads. It looked awesome. Rue tells you that you're doing a drag brunch. Now you get to have some, one-on-one time with Reese and Brie. Now, for those of us that have seen either of those two do their performances, what was it like, I guess, for you? I feel like there's probably a lot we didn't see with your interaction with them, but like, are you just a sponge in that situation? Are you just like kind of like, or is it very overwhelming? Like, you know, because I know for me, I'm very hard to be swayed once I've got an idea of what I want to do, but I'm very curious to know how you approach those things.
Oh, I was from the start, so that's not what I was supposed to be doing. Bumper was not supposed to be doing that. I had a track and I'd recorded it here in Melbourne. And because of the New Zealand situation, I submitted it for licensing in Australia, got approved, but we had to do New Zealand. And I think approval came through the day after.
Oh, no.
So that day, I had to come up with shit out of my ass for 2 hours. And that's the shit you saw. So,
Bubba, now it makes so much sense that you were like, you're like, you want confidence. I got confidence. I don't think you were trying to convince us. You were trying to convince you.
Exactly. You're like, why does this have to be a dry shoot? Mama needs a Sauvignon Blanc now.
When
they were giving me the advice, I was just trying to be a sponge. And they wanted me to go away, which I'd never done before. And I'm like, you know what? Do what they say, because you got nothing else up your sleeve, babe. So just
that's
just
so funny. It makes so much sense.
I'm gonna sing the song a cappella. I don't need the message.
Yeah, you should have just done it a cappella. Give us a little rendition of it now. How does it go?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna wait because I'm gonna remix that mother.
Well, listen, the rights are all done for it. So, I mean, you're pretty sorted.
Yeah.
Now, we go along and, you actually give us a really great joke about all the reads that you had for the girls and three of them left, which I love. And I kind of think that kind of sums up you as a person, is that you're funny when you don't even mean to be funny.
Yeah, I wish I'd gone first because I probably would have been more off the cuff rather than what the judges told me to work on or the... in the critique, but yeah, if I'd been first, I probably would have been more of like that, because I think that's definitely my lane.
And is that comes from your experience of, I it comes from your experience, full stop, doesn't it? Because it's another thing, I guess, like we should talk about is it's just a very interesting mix of queens that we get these days, because so many of them don't come through the club scene, but that was almost like a rite of passage, wasn't it? When, if you're a drag queen who's been around, you know, for a little while, and even me as a patron and like watching drag shows, you know, you kind of like, you would know your favorite drag queens and you would be screaming as when they come out on stage, you'd know what drag nights were on amateur night, or, you know, if it was like this or that or a show. Were you able to give some advice to the girls, that maybe those ones that haven't had as much experience coming through their career that way?
Yes and no, because I think we were all in our own heads, like really trying to concentrate on who am I. So I did try it a few times, but I could see it not landing because it is such an intense, pressured environment that you can't listen to too many voices, you know. There's not enough room or time even, because we'd like boom, 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 boom. But certainly, I think they, like me, have learned a lot after being on the show. Like, I've learned other things, and I think they've learned those things. So yeah. I think it's all kind of working its way in there now.
I kind of love that. I love that you are still open to learning new things, even though you were the most experienced queen on that, you know, on that cast. I also love too that you, even though you and Holly were kind of going back and forth, and it was quite funny because, you know, it wasn't an angry conversation, but you could just tell that stuff was like simmering underneath there, and you were very quick. You were like, "Oh, so you think I'm not very good?" And I was like, "Oh, Bumble!" I'm like, "Oh, she's riding up," but I thought it was interesting that conversation, and then you as a grown person, a mature adult, were able to say, Holly is a fantastic performer. Now, a lot of people would have held grudges and been upset about that and, you know, kind of like put their tail between their legs. But is that kind of how you approach your life, is like just being mature about it?
So it's not, it's a different thing. So if someone really does come for me, but they are better than I am, then they win. If they come for me and I'm better than they are, then I win. So that's where it goes. So
you're saying win most of your arguments?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I mean, Holly can slay the house down. So she wins that competition. But, you know, so it's a respect. It's a level of respect. So, I give it, but I can also take it as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense when you say it like that. Let's talk through your Olivia Newton-John ode to, you know, Sandy who got the D. I think they called it on the show.
Shandy, what kind of, her cousin from New Zealand.
Shandy. what did this outfit mean to you? And because I feel like there's a bit more to that story as well about, you know, your backyard barbecues when you were growing up.
Yeah, all of my costumes actually did have a story. I really wanted to reach into my life and my career and find moments that meant a lot. So as a kid growing up, my barbecues were with a lot of gangs at the barbecues in New Zealand. And the one gang that my family are very closely associated with, their colours just happen to be red and black and a little bit of white. So that's the barbecues that I grew up with. And, you know, we'd be sitting on crates of Waikato, it's a beer, crates of beer, you know, at a barbecue. So for many years and many barbecues, that's my upbringing. So I wanted to incorporate those colours. And then I thought, like, I'll be gang. And then I remembered, and back in my mind, I remembered, and because Olivia had just passed.
Yeah.
And she wore red and black at the end of Greece. I thought, come on there, let's do a bit of me and a bit of Olivia having a hot dog at a fair or a barbecue. So that's where Shandy ended up coming from.
I loved it because it was Shandy with a glass of Shardy on the main stage.
Literally.
Now, you did go into the lip sync with Gab, and, you know, it was just so, it was the kind of lip sync that we want to see. It was two queens doing what they do really well. But I've got to ask you, was there a tissue on the stage? What was on the stage? There's something on the stage in between you. And are you sure? Did you do a nana and have a tissue tucked up your sleeve? Because I promise you, there is something on the stage.
Let's have a look now. Oh, my God. No.
If anyone is listening to this, I please, when you watch the episode, have a look at the lip sync. It was distracting. Okay. Bumper, are you someone who tucks tissues up your sleeve or did you put them in your outfit somewhere?
No, I have no idea where that came from. I would never put a tissue anywhere near my body.
Final thoughts on you know, lip syncing with your girl Gab, like, I mean, and final thoughts on your journey before we wrap.
Well, I'm definitely an R&B girl, so that's my name. And that song f***ed me over. I hated it. I hated most of the tracks, to be honest. So I was like, oh my God, how the hell am I going to put Bumper into this song?
Well,
so
you did.
I gave it my best, but I didn't like it, and
But loved your journey, and we loved watching you, and I think that, like, you know, like I said, just to kind of echo what I said at the beginning, I feel like a lot of queens in your position who have a lot of experience can come into the show and be like, listen to me, I know what's going on. You need to, you need to hear everything I'm saying to you. But you just imparted your wisdom in such a beautiful and motherly kind of way. And I feel like not only the girls have got something to learn from you, but the audience watching as well. And I hope you're really proud of what you did, because we're all proud of seeing you on the show.
Thanks, darling. I certainly am. And the feedback I've had has been 99% absolutely amazing, especially in certain like areas I never thought. Like my two biggest following countries, number two is Spain, number one is the Bible Belt of America. So
really?
Ex-Mormons. A couple of organizations that work with GLBTIQA plus in the Bible Belt have reached out to me. So and when I look at my insights on Instagram, certainly wow. through that whole area, and the feedback that I get from them has been amazing. So I think that they and Spain, of all places, I think they can hear that voice that I am, and they yeah. really, that's all they're hearing, and I'm so thankful, because that's the good voice.
Yeah, and it really resonates. Thank you so much for chatting to me today. Like I said, an absolute pleasure to watch you on this show. I can't wait to see a whole lot more of Bumper Love very soon.
Exactly.
And joining me on the podcast today to unpack this week's episode is none other than All Right Harry. How are ya?
Hello. Oh, I'm good, doll. I'm feeling great. I've got so much energy, so this is going to be a great episode.
I can't tell if that's sarcasm or if you're being truthful.
No, it seriously is. I got up early this morning. I had some pre-workout because I recorded my podcast before this, and so I always take a bit of pre-workout before a podcast episode. So I've got lots of energy, so we're ready to get stuck.
Had three coffees, so we're on the same level for sure.
That's now, fun days for you, Del.
Oh, God. Now let's jump into this episode. A few things to go over. I mean, this week is drag brunch, and there was some feedback kind of going around that maybe – in previous seasons, that maybe drag brunch wasn't an Aussie thing. And I saw a lot of passionate fans say it absolutely is. Are you a drag brunch person? Because I haven't been to a lot, but I would sure as hell love to.
I've been to a couple drag brunches in my time, but is drag brunch my thing? Absolutely not. I am not, if I have to get up any earlier than like 11 o'clock on a weekend, I'm not going. And I know that drag brunch... I know that drag brunch is often like maybe a 2 p.m. thing for yeah. some drag queens. It really depends. I know, I think more in Melbourne they have it. I know we have a fabulous one here at the Vertican with Minx Moscato on, I think, a Sunday. But again, Minx is a great friend of mine, and I have not even been to her drag brunch ever. So drag brunch, not for me. And I don't really know what happens there. So I would have been a bit confused by this challenge, because I'm not exactly sure, like this time around it just felt more like a bit of a talent show, really.
Totally. You could have just called it a talent show and we would have been none the wiser. Like, call it the, you know, what do we call it, the Rue Lollapalooza, or, you know, any of those things yeah. would have worked. And speaking of, we've got, you know, some interesting talents from the girls. So Holly is telling us that she's doing opera. Gab is giving us her 10 years experience as a hula hoop expert, which we'll get onto in a second. Isis is giving us a song. We've got Bumper, who's very confident in her stand-up, and Floor is doing CPR. Did you have a favourite?
No. I did have a favourite. I actually did. I think Isis was yes. my favourite, because of her song that she did was so beautiful. Yes. And I guess the drag brunches that I know do have the like lip syncing element yep. to it. Like the girls just do a couple numbers. So I think like it was probably the most spot on for brunch.
I was going to say, it was really very on brief, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I really enjoyed her song, which I don't know what song that is. I don't know where she got it. It sounds very royalty free, but I need to find it because...
Be like Mama Roo and like, you know, have it out on iTunes the second that it drops on the show. Because, but you're right though, it was very very on brand, you know, very on description for the challenge, the fans, the twirling. She didn't give too much away in her rehearsal, so we were surprised about what she did. I quite like that as well. I think definitely Floor deserves like an honorable mention for being, you know, kind of like, it was a very emotional episode for Floor. That was a very raw and open moment for her. And she was worried about like the language barrier and, you know, mucking it up. And she actually did an incredible job, you know, and was quite funny shaking them titties around.
That is so true. When she was doing the CPR, that was like a laugh out loud moment for me. Yeah. And I think that like Floor did really well because the concept itself, this is the thing, the concept itself doesn't have to be incredible or amazing or rocket science. You just have to make us laugh, you know?
Totally.
And it was funny. It was stupid.
Well, that's the thing too. I don't know about you, but like in those moments when you feel like maybe your material's not doing so well, you just shake your titties around and like, you know, whatever gets the laughs, really.
Exactly. That's how I made saw my you on the weekend.
Yeah. I saw you on the weekend. We were, you know, that's what we do. You know, you just jiggle them around.
We're just shaking our titties around. Yeah.
Now let's talk about Bumper stand up. So I spoke to her before, just before this, and she said that she was never meant to do stand up. It was meant to be a song. It didn't get rights approved, so therefore she couldn't do it, which is quite funny because she was so confident. And I said to her, now I understand, you were trying to sell it to yourself. You weren't trying to sell it to everyone else. You were trying to tell yourself, I got this, I got this, I got this. I mean,
yeah.
You're a performer. What do you do? Do you have backups for your backup plans, or do you like? Are you a someone who can move with a situation like that? If you were told, sorry, you know, your USB is not working, babe, you got to do something else, or you know, we can't do this in the podcast today, or whatever. You know, how do you approach something like that?
Yeah, I definitely have things that I can fall back on and jokes that I know are going to actually land. I think that the biggest thing for stand-up comedians is that no one really wants you to take the piss out of anyone but yourself. Because it's very easy to come across as very mean. And mm-hmm. I think Bumper kind of just like went in with the like dog piss analogy on the other girls, and that didn't land, but then she kind of doubled down on that and just went a little bit harsher. And then even Rue kind of tried to help her and was like, you know, what about you? And then she just didn't really click onto it. And I will say though, like, I actually enjoyed Bumper's like set for what it was, just because like, you know, sometimes when people do stand up, you watch and you can't look at the TV because it's actually so cringe that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't even watch. Bumper wasn't like that. Like Bumper, I was still laughing with her in a way.
Totally. And then when I found out that it wasn't even what she was meant to do, I was like, oh, it all makes sense now. Like, and you and I were at a thing on the weekend and we saw some stand up there, and I had to check myself to make sure I wasn't doing pity laughs. And I genuinely wasn't. I thought that the stand up guy was funny. But do you know what? I feel like sometimes we fall into that trap of being like, oh, make sure you laugh really loud so that they feel confident.
Yes.
You know, just hilarious. But yeah, it was. It did definitely feel, I mean, it just made so much sense when I found out that it's definitely not what she was meant to do. I feel like maybe it could have been better if she just owned up to that on the show, and we probably would have been like, oh God, like, look, she's had to pull something out of her bum, you know, like, but I don't know, I guess that's, maybe that comes down to a pride thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Also, maybe it's just lifting a little bit too much of the curtain, and maybe it was a production thing and they said, true. Well, we can't mention that you had a song and it didn't get the rights approved because, like, maybe that's a bit too breaking the fourth wall or whatever. But, I mean, it's just a strange place to land if it's not what you're good at or what you've done before. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she said in the episode she's never actually done stand-up
before. No, never done it before. And also, too, I think Et Cetera, Et Cetera is the only other queen who's thought about something and gone, aha, piss jokes. Like, you know, it's just like, how did you land on that?
And I think she went home that episode, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And she had a fully produced song that was called Piss, I think. Like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
a sign
but that's
for
the thing. Like,
queens.
If you are going to fail on an episode and it's not going to go well, at least make some coin, sis. You know, at least make a song out of it and get the ball rolling with a record deal. Because, I mean, that's if I ever went on Drag Race as a contestant, which would never probably happen. But anyway, we never know. I would, like, whatever my downfall is on the show, because I wouldn't win, and I know that. Whatever the downfall
winning's
is.
Winning's not everything.
You've got to make it into, make it into merch, make yeah. it into a song, you know, make it into, just get a bit of coin for your time, doll.
I feel like I've been handing out some of those ideas to the queens on this season of this podcast. I said to Rita Menu that, you know, with her not so great Cardi B snatch game, she did this thing where she said, "My pussy's hot, air, air." And I said to her, "Please tell me you're releasing a song called My Pussy's Hot, Air, Air." And she was like, "No." And I'm like, oh, I'm literally like handing out these gold ideas to you girls and you're not taking them. But then you see yeah. other queens like Ashley Madison who, you know, straight onto the nipple covers. And but you're right, you've got to make some coin, darling.
Yeah, well, Hollywood released the single that she performed in her brunch spot. Mm-hmm. So that came out as well this week. Mm-hmm. So she's on the right track.
Yeah, literally. I mean, follow in Mama Ru's footsteps. Now, I'm curious. The runway theme was Not In My Backyard Barbecue. If you were on the runway, what would you have worn? Because it's a very obscure theme.
I mean, just thinking off the top of my head right now, if I had more time, I'd probably come up with a fabulous concept. But I'd probably go down the shrimp on the Barbie route.
Oh. Yes. Oh my God, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, shrimp on the Barbie, because I think that even though this is a drag race down under, I think that like we want to try and hit some nuance for the people around the world. Totally. So sometimes dumbing it right down for them and just going simple, as simple as you can, is probably, and I think that's a few weeks ago why we saw two green fairies for the Kylie Minogue, because that's such a global reference. And then also one of the eliminated queens who I can't remember at the moment, but they were going to be a green fairy as well. So I think that's the risk you take, is I'm sure that someone else may have been shrimp on the Barbie as well. But yeah, I would have done something, maybe even dressed as Paul Hogan or like a female version of Paul Hogan. I don't know.
There's so many options. I mean, you could have also, like, that's the great thing about drag and about being a content creator and a performer, is it doesn't have to be literal. You could have been dressed up as a Barbie doll with, you know, shrimps on your dress. Like, you know, or you could have literally been the barbecue. Like, you know, so many options within the copyright guidelines, of course. Now, I don't know if you noticed this. There was one thing I wanted to point out to you before we wrap up was, did you see, you might have to go back and watch this again, that there was a tissue on stage during the entire lip sync?
No, I didn't.
It's sitting literally in the middle of the stage in between Bumper and it's, I was just like, is that it? I couldn't take my eyes off it. If anyone is listening to this, please send me a DM and let me know that I'm not crazy. I'm certain. And in my mind, I had this image of like Bumper tucking a tissue up her sleeve like a nana, or like tucking it down her top and just whipping it out in case she needed it. And it just fell out onto the stage at some point.
I didn't even notice that, but I'm going straight to that part of the episode after we finish here, because I need to see that.
Oh, so good. Okay, cool. Final thoughts on who would you like to see win? You know, who's your favorite? Where can you see this season going?
I think who's going to win? My tip's on Isis. Avis Loren. My favourite of the season was actually Ivory Glaze. I think that Ivory Glaze was such a star those first two episodes, and then the third episode she was in at the start. I just was like, I sent her a message and was like, do you realise you are the star of this season? Like the things you are delivering, just such good television, which was surprising, and she won't be offended by that, because Ivory's a good friend of mine and I don't mean any shade there, but like I just, you know, she'd be good television, but she was really good television and I was so proud of her for that. So Ivory was probably my favorite of the season, but yeah, I'm tipping Isis to win. That's my vote.
I'm going to say I agree with you, and I think it will probably come down to Isis and Gab. Gabriella Labucci, just obviously hilarious, laugh after laugh. He's giving us, you know, clown drag queen, which we love. She's also trying to, like, change her look, but obviously very loved by RuPaul as well. And then, yeah, agree, Isis giving us a very high level of drag. And I kind of will agree with you on the Ivory stuff too, because I mean, gosh, you got to go back and look at her, how polished her drag was. Like, you know, she was giving us good TV. She was giving us good drag. I mean, she was ticking all the boxes. It's just that maybe it just wasn't her time. All right. Well, we're going to have to wait and see who takes out the crown. Only a few weeks to go now before we find out. Now, if people want to follow you on social media, give us the sell, Mama, give us the RuPaul plug about where we can see you.
Just search All Right Hey everywhere. TikTok and Instagram is probably the best place to have me. And I have a brand new podcast called High Scrollers that you can listen to because you're finished with this one now. So head over there and listen to our first episode.
Deal. All right. Hey, thank you so much. And we will see you at the end of this season. Well, that's it for another week. No luck on that mysterious tissue business, but like I said, DM me if you saw it and if you know what was going on. Tune in again next Monday as I'll be joined by some of my favourite people and fellow RuPaul's Drag Race lovers. Plus, as always, I'll be unpacking the episode with the Eliminated Queen. Catch RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under exclusively on Stan every Friday. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the Listener app so you don't miss a minute of the charisma, uniqueness, nerve or talent. I'm Justin Hill and I'll see you next Monday with our 7th Eliminated Queen. Until then, look over there.